العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. الحمد لله. My respected brothers and elders, we were going reading through this book and we were going through the lives of the Khulafa al-Rashidun, those Sahaba who are very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And last week we started the life of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And we mentioned a few points about Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So today inshallah we'll just continue the life of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. I mentioned last week that who were the first people to become Muslims. And we mentioned that out of many scholars have had different opinions. Some have said it was Sayyidina Abu Bakr, some have said it was Sayyidina Ali, some have said it was Sayyidatuna Khadija, Ummul Mu'mineen Khadija, our mother, the mother of the believers, Khadija radiallahu anha, and some have said it was Sayyidina Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. So the best opinion is that we say from the women it was Khadija radiallahu anha, from the men it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, from the children it was Ali, and from the freed slaves, you can say because he was a freed slave so they categorized him as from the slaves, it was Sayyidina Zayd. So these were the first four people to actually embrace Islam. So I'll continue inshallah today. So it mentions that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he migrated to Medina straight after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last week we mentioned the incident that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually left Ali radiallahu anhu in his bedding at night time, that you sleep here instead of me. And at that moment in time, the entire house was surrounded by the enemies who were waiting to actually ambush him and kill him. But Ali was such a courageous child, even though he was so young, he was so courageous. He knew that even though the enemy was surrounding the house, this is the command of my dearly beloved Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I should stay in his place. So he's willing to give his life for the sake of Allah and for the sake of Allah's Nabi. And the next day when the disbelievers, they did not actually see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaving the house, so they came in, they broke into the house and they removed the covers and they saw Ali was there. And they asked him, they said, where is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, he left. Which he did, he left. But they did not actually see him. Because I mentioned last week that the Prophet ﷺ recited a verse of the Qur'an, فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ, from Surah Yasin. And he blew on some dust and he threw it towards them. And when he threw it, they could not see. And they did not see him actually leaving in front of them. So he migrated to Medina straight after Rasulullah ﷺ. And he participated in all of the major battles of Islam, except for the Battle of Tabuk. So he was there in the Battle of Uhud, he was there in the Battle of Badr, and all the major expeditions and battles that took place in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, the only one he did not take part in was Tabuk. Tabuk was a very famous expedition, very difficult one. We mentioned in the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu about Tabuk a lot, that Uthman's generosity, his sakhawat was shown in the Battle of Tabuk. When the Prophet ﷺ, he actually called it, it was known as Ghazwatul Usra, the battle of hardship, the battle of difficulty, because the Sahaba did not have a big army, they did not have enough weapons, they did not have enough provisions to go on journey. So the Sahaba had nothing, they were not prepared. So Prophet ﷺ had to fundraise, he had to say, please donate for the army to get ready to go and march on the Romans. They were marching on the Roman Empire, the first battle that was marching on the Roman Empire in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. Eventually the army did leave, but they did not meet the enemy. When the enemy heard that the Muslim army was coming, they actually retreated and no battle actually happened. But in that Tabuk, many different stories are related to the Battle of Tabuk. One of them is the famous hadith we have of the three Sahaba who actually did not go in the Battle of Tabuk. And they just, Sayyidina, the hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and we did it in Riyadh al-Salihin as well. And he says that, you know, I thought I'm going to go. People were making the announcement, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to leave for Tabuk. Are you prepared? Are you ready? So he said, I said to myself, I will go, I will leave. He said, but what had happened was, you know, I had become very wealthy. I had an orchard in Medina and I had different businesses running. And I thought, let me just tend to my businesses. And then I even heard that Rasulullah had left sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the army. So I thought, it's okay, he won't go too far. I'll catch up with him. He's left, but I'll catch up with him. And eventually a few days passed and Rasulullah had gone so far ahead, Sayyidina Ka'ab knew that there's no way I can catch up with him anymore. And he realized straight away that this was a deception from Shaitan. Shaitan didn't want me to go along with the army. So he thought to himself, what excuse will I make to Prophet ﷺ when he comes back? And he says, oh Ka'ab, why did you not come, you know, go to the battle? So he said there were lots of people in Medina who didn't go. Well, all of them were munafiqun, they were hypocrites. He said, we knew that these people were hypocrites. We knew that they were not real Muslims because of many actions that they used to do. So he said, you know, I could see them all preparing their excuses. That when Rasulullah comes back sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asks me, why did you not go in Tabuk? I will say this excuse, that excuse. So he said, I thought to myself, I will prepare an excuse. He said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went in Tabuk, he turned around and he said, where is Ka'b ibn Malik? And the Sahaba said, ya Rasulullah, his businesses and his orchards have held him back from joining us. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, he called all the people who didn't go in Tabuk, came to the masjid. And one by one they were saying, ya Rasulullah, I had this problem, I had this issue, and that's why I couldn't go. So Ka'b ibn Malik is sitting at the back of the line thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? He actually prepared something. He thought, I'm going to give this excuse. But you know, as the line was getting shorter and he was getting closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started panicking. He's thinking, how can I lie in the face of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because everybody was lying. They were all lying. He said they were all lying, these people. They had made these kind of fraudulent excuses. But when they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they gave their excuse, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, may Allah forgive you, you can go. Allah will forgive you, you can go. So he thought, should I say it? Should I make an excuse? But then it was my turn and I was sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Ka'b ibn Malik, why did you not join us in Tabuk? And he said, ya Rasulullah, I have no excuse. It was out of laziness. And he said, my business and all of this kept me behind. Ya Rasulullah, I am at your disposal. If you do not forgive me and if Allah Ta'ala does not forgive me, I will not be satisfied until Allah forgives me and until you forgive me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, you want Allah Ta'ala to forgive you? So till Allah does not reveal a verse in your favor to forgive you, then you are not forgiven by us. And he sent Ka'b ibn Malik away and he told the Sahaba, nobody is to talk to Ka'b ibn Malik. Nobody was talking to him. His own family were not talking to him. His children, his wife was not talking to him. And life became so difficult for him. But he knew that Rasulullah, this was the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then later there were three Sahaba, all three were in the same situation. And then later the verses of Surah At-Tawbah were revealed. But Allah Ta'ala forgave them. Allah Ta'ala accepted their tawbah. But anyway, there's a lot of, I went into too much detail there, but there's a lot of incidents which are to do with the Battle of Tabuk. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu did not go in the Battle of Tabuk. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed to leave a representative in Medina. That if he goes out and something happens, who is going to be the leader of Medina? So who did he make the Amir of Medina while he was absent? He said to Ali, O Ali radiallahu anhu, you are going to be the Amir. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was very upset. He was very upset. He said, ya Rasulullah, I wish to go out and, you know, and reap the reward, gain the reward. Such a noble journey this is, going out in this battle. I want to get the reward. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Ali, are you not satisfied that Allah has given you the status that Harun alayhi salam was given to Musa alayhi salam? So the same way Harun's alayhi salam's relationship was with Musa, that he was the helper of Musa alayhi salam, always with Musa alayhi salam. Allah said to Musa, oh Musa, I want you to go to Egypt to Fir'aun and warn him. What did Musa alayhi salam say? What did Musa alayhi salam say? Ya Allah, you know, I have luknat. I have a stutter. I find it difficult to speak. Please will you send my brother with me to support me? So Harun was always there with Musa alayhi salam to support him. And you see that all the da'wat was done by who? Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam did all of the preaching to Islam. He did all of the preaching. What did Harun alayhi salam do? He was just his support. So sometimes this is Allah's nizam, Allah's system. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala creates a certain person just to support somebody else to do the effort of deen. So that person themselves won't do the effort. Somebody else will do the effort, but he will be the support. He will be the pillar for that person. And it happens on many, many occasions. You know, even if you look in the pious predecessors, even look at the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the da'i. He was the one who was calling to Islam. Who was his support? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Always with him, always there to support him. Many times you have these chosen people who have their support, their pillar. But anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on this occasion, O Ali, are you not satisfied that Allah has given you the position that Harun alayhi salam was given to Musa alayhi salam, the same position? So he was made the governor of Medina when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba were out in the Battle of Tabuk. And then he mentions Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the great tabi'een. He says that on the day of Uhud, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu suffered 16 wounds to his body. On the day of Uhud, Ali radiallahu anhu was a lion. There were two lions from the Muslims, Ali and Hamza. Hamza was an actual lion. He was built like one. He's a very strong, powerful man. Ali was a very skinny young person. He was a teenager. But nobody, whoever came in front of Ali, could not deal with him. He just finished them off. And he had a sword which had two edges. You know, normally you have a sword. His sword had two edges and he was called Dhulfiqar. His sword's name was Dhulfiqar. And he said that whoever came in front of Dhulfiqar, you know you are defeated. Nobody survived in front of Dhulfiqar. So these were the two lions. But it wasn't easy to be such a strong warrior. He suffered 16 serious wounds to his body on the day of the Battle of Uhud. And there are many other incidents about him. Obviously here, they're just going to mention the summary, a few points. It's also mentioned a hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhima, that on the day of the Battle of Khaybar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the flag of the Muslims to Ali radiallahu anhu. And I think the incident will come later, so I won't go into any... it's coming later anyway, the incident. But that will come. That's one of the virtues. On the day of Khaybar, the flag, the Battle of Khaybar was a very difficult battle. Because the Muslims, the first time they were faced with this fortress. Now obviously in battle you have to have used different tactics. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set off with the army and there were plenty of soldiers in the army. But now they come to this massive fortress. And how are they going to get into the fortress? They attack it, but the archers are shooting arrows from the top and many of the Muslims were becoming shaheed. So then the Muslims retreated and for a few days this happened. And the Muslims just could not get an advantage. So the Sahaba were thinking, what do we do? Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa was thinking, what do we do? And the incident will come later, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi said, today, tomorrow, I will give the flag of the Muslims to a person who loves Allah and his Rasul, and Allah and his Rasul love him as well. I will give the flag of the Muslims to a person who loves Allah and his Rasul, and who Allah and his Rasul love. And Allah will grant victory to the Muslims at the hand of this person. You can imagine what state the Sahaba were in when they heard that. Tomorrow, this flag will be given to such a special person. The Sahaba, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, said, I could not sleep that night. Thinking, I hope tomorrow it's me. Every single Sahabi said, we could not sleep that night hoping. Because two things in there. First, that person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying this person truly loves Allah and his Rasul. And secondly, this is not a one-sided muhabbat, not a one-sided love. Allah and his Rasul love this person back. Everybody wants this certification. You know, so none of the Sahaba could sleep. The incident is coming later, inshallah, which we'll mention. So this is one of the reasons why Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was favored, one of the virtues of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And then it mentions, وَأَحْوَالُهُ فِي الشُّجَاعَةِ مَعْرُوفَةٌ وَآثَارُهُ فِي الْحُرُوبِ مَشْهُورَةٌ. His bravery is very, very famous. So many incidents of his courage and his bravery. And similarly, his incidents in the battlefield are also very, very famous. Some of them have been exaggerated with incidents of any Sahaba. Unfortunately, we take a lot of, when it comes to battles that happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was one great Imam of history. His name was Imam al-Waqidi. Imam al-Waqidi. So most of the details we have about battles actually come from Imam al-Waqidi. Problem is, Imam al-Waqidi, the scholars, when they talk about him, they say he was a historian, but he was not strong in hadith. Many times when he narrated hadith, unfortunately, he would say hadith that didn't even exist. So that's why a lot of incidents to do with battles and bravery on battlefield have been exaggerated a little bit. So we have to take them with a pinch of salt. We have to make sure that each incident is authentic. But again, when it comes to history, we don't have to be so strict. Like the ulama have said, when it comes to history, you don't have to be strict because you're not proving anything halal or haram from history. You're just showing the greatness of Islam. So even if there's a bit of exaggeration, there's no harm in that. Okay. And then he mentions his knowledge. As for his knowledge, then he was known amongst the Sahaba as one of the greatest ulama, one of the greatest scholars. There is one hadith that is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I am the city of knowledge, and Ali is the door to that city." And there are other statements which will come later, inshallah. And he mentions that he narrated many hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He narrated 586 hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He probably knew more. He definitely knew more, but some Sahaba were very particular when it came to narrating hadith. They wouldn't just sit there and say, Rasulullah said this, Rasulullah said this, Rasulullah said this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're very particular because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whoever says something and he says that I said it, whoever attributes something to me and I haven't said it, let him prepare for himself a place in the fire of Jahannam. They were so careful that each word, to the extent that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he would be so careful that every word I'm saying, the Sahaba, all of them were like this. Every word I'm saying. For example, think if Shazamai said to me, today at 6 o'clock we're going to do this, can you pass the message on to other people? So I go and say, Brother Shazan is saying at 6 o'clock, you know, I can change the wording a little bit. It doesn't harm the message. The message is the same if I change the wording. But Sahaba were so particular, they would make sure the exact wording that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used was passed on to the ummah. Same words. That's why if they were confused between a small word, that did he say this or did he change it a little bit, it doesn't change the meaning. They would say both. Either Rasulullah used this word or he used this word. And think about this, when are they passing this on? Years after the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away. So many by this time the Sahaba are very old. You know, when you're old, you don't always remember exactly what was said. That's why when the memory is still weaker, they would say, Rasulullah either said this or he used this word instead. And the person would write the hadith down that I heard from this Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu. He said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this. Maybe he used this word, maybe he used the other word. And that would be passed down to us, to the ummah. So meticulously, so carefully. So Sahaba are very careful. That's why Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, you can say he only narrated 586 hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Bukhari and Muslim together have mentioned 20. They both narrated 20 of his hadith. Imam Bukhari separately has mentioned 9 and Imam Muslim separately has mentioned 15. And then he mentions about his knowledge. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who was one of the Sahaba, one of the great Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the person who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Hibru hadhihi al-ummah, that the scholar of my ummah. He said, "Mili ummat ka alim." The scholar of my ummah is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This certification was given to him. He said, "Kunna natahaddathu anna aqda ahl al-Madinati Aliyun." He said, "We the Sahaba, when we used to talk about who is the most wisest of the Sahaba and who has the most ilm, we were all unanimous that it was Ali." When the Sahaba used to discuss who has the most ilm, we all used to agree that it was Ali. Even in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the time of the Sahaba, everybody knew that the most knowledgeable is Ali radiallahu anhu. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu, in his time, he never let Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu leave his side. Even when battles, when the armies were going in battle, he never let Ali join the battle. He said, "Oh Ali, what will I do if you leave me? I won't know what to do if you leave my side." Every decision he had to make, he would ask Sayyidina Ali, what do you think? And Sayyidina Ali, this was his adab and his respect. Because Sayyidina Umar was so many years older than him in age and in kind of, you know, his level as well as a Sahabi. So when Umar radiallahu anhu make a decision and he didn't ask Ali, Ali radiallahu anhu would never say anything. Even though he's sitting there. Even if he didn't agree with it, he wouldn't say anything out of respect. Well, sometimes Umar radiallahu anhu would say, "Oh Ali, why are you silent? What do you have to say?" And then with the utmost respect, he say, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, I think it would be better if we did this instead." And then he would explain his reasoning. And then Umar would say, "Oh Ali, if you were not here, I'd be destroyed. If you were not here, I would be destroyed." There's only one incident you actually find where Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu made a decision and Ali radiallahu anhu actually objected to that decision. I don't want to go into the details. It's a fiqh discussion. But Sayyidina Ali objected. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Oh Ali, why do you object?" And then he said, "This is the reason." And he said, "Oh Ali, if you did not object, I would have been destroyed. I would have passed a mas'ala, a fatwa, which was very dangerous. You gave me the dalil, which is the opposite. And you protected me from passing such a dangerous fatwa." Anyway, so he is very knowledgeable. Sayyidina Sayyid ibn Musayyib, rahmatullahi alayhi, says, "Ma kana ahadun yaqulu saluni ghayru aliyyin." Sayyidina Abdullah, Sayyid ibn Musayyib was a tabi'i. He's someone who saw many sahaba. He said, "We never saw a Sahabi saying, 'Ask me, I will answer you,' except for Ali. Everybody would say, 'Go and ask somebody else.'" You know, if you go to any Sahabi and say, "I have this problem, I have this issue, can you help me?" They'd say, "Go and ask somebody else. You want to ask a Masla, ask somebody else." Ali radiallahu anhu would say, "Ask me." Allah had given him such confidence in his ilm that he would say to the people, "Come and ask me, I'll help you, I'll answer your question." He said, "We didn't see any other Sahabi saying, 'Ask me,' except for Ali." And it wasn't out of takabbur. It wasn't out of takabbur. It's because he knew that Allah has given me this ilm. So it's my responsibility to pass it on to the people. And he mentions, وَإِذَا ثَبَتَ لَنَا الشَّيْءُ عَنْ عَلِيٍّ لَمْ نَعْدِلْ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ. Again, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas is saying this. He's saying, he's a Sahabi. He says, whenever we hear that Ali has said something, radiallahu anhu, then we leave everybody else's opinion and we take Ali's opinion. Even if many of the Sahaba have said something different, we will always take the opinion of Ali. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas also says that if knowledge was split into 10 portions, then I can say that 9 of those portions have been given to Ali. And one portion has been split between everybody else. Allah had given him such ilm. There's no surprise that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am the city of ilm, but Ali is the door to it. So these are just the virtues of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu when it comes to knowledge. Inshallah, we'll carry on next week on different virtues about him. Inshallah, Allah ta'ala give us the ability to understand and practice on this. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.